Good morning. Welcome to you to the Lord's house this morning. As always, we'd like to encourage everyone to sign the friendship register at the end of the pew and pass it on to your neighbors. If you're a first-time visitor to Berry Christian Church this morning, we want to say a special word of welcome to you. We'd like to also invite you to visit with us in the back of the church after our service today. We'll be back there shaking some hands. Please do drop by and let us know this is your first time here, and we'd be honored to share a small gift with you before you leave this morning. And please pick up your 2018 giving statements on a table back in the foyer. This will help us with the significant cost of postage. And after today, we will be mailing out whatever's left. So please, if you haven't picked yours up yet, please do so after service. Please also read through the bulletin announcement page to learn about the Stanley Otto Bean Fellowship Dinner after second service next Sunday, the 3rd of February. Also the Baby Grace Diaper Drive and the wellness support group and parent support group that Katie Turner would like to begin with the support of others here in our fellowship. I want to say a word of welcome to Paul Morrell this morning. He's going to be filling in for Andrew. For those of you who went and saw the Men of Faith musical, Paul was part of that musical, so you might recognize him. And please also sign up to help take Jesus and Michelle Jacobo's kiddos to school and pick them up after school during the weeks to come. There's a sign-up sheet in the back for the next 2 weeks and also directions. It's very easy, and your gift of time is deeply appreciated. Do we have any other announcements this morning? All right, Paul.
Please rise and join in the call to worship. Praise the Lord.
It is good to sing praise to our God. It is pleasant and right to praise Him.
Great and mighty is our Lord. His wisdom cannot be measured.
He takes pleasure in those who honor Him,
in those who trust in His constant love. Let us all join in singing the opening hymn, number 233, Alleluia, Sing to Jesus.
Stay. friend of sinners, earth's Redeemer, plead for me. Ever songs of all the sinless sweep across the crystal sea.
May we bow in a moment of prayer. Lord God, we give thanks for the privilege of gathering here in your house on this Lord's Day Sunday. We acknowledge we are not always deserving of your grace, but we know that through Jesus Christ we have redemption. Because of his life, his sacrifice, and his resurrection, we are redeemed and live life not for our purposes, but for your purposes. Guide us in knowing and fulfilling your purposes. And may we feel your living presence as we begin our worship now this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take a few moments to greet those around you this morning. Please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first stanza of page 190, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus, I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I should tell any of you here, if you're a visitor, I am not Kathy Connell. Kathy is home nursing strep throat, but she is on demand and should be back next week. So today you have me. Boy, that's a whole big crowd of kids. Lots of you. Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I woke up early this morning. I didn't want to, but I did. And I thought as long as I woke up, I'd just as well get up and do some things around the house. And you know what? I'm tired now, and I think I'm going to take a nap. So I brought my pillow, and I'm just going to take a nap. Do you guys like to take naps? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we'll just all take a nap, and we'll just rest. Do you know, I don't think Pastor Dennis really likes for us to take a nap during church.
Just during the sermon.
But do you know one time Jesus had been busy all day teaching people and loving on people and healing people, and then him and the disciples got in a boat, and they were going to sail in that boat all the way across the lake. But Jesus was tired, and so he took a nap. And he was asleep in the boat, and a big storm came up. Oh, yeah. And the wind was blowing, and it was thundering, and it was lightning. And the disciples got scared because they thought the boat might tip over. So they went, and they woke Jesus up. And they told him, look, what's happening? And he got up, and he said to this wind, quit blowing. And he said to the thunder, that's enough of that. And he said to the wave, just calm down. And it happened, just like he told them. And the disciples looked at one another and said, what kind of a person is this? Look, even the wind and the waves obey him. Whew. But you know, that was a long time ago. But you know, sometimes today we even have storms in our life, don't we? Things happen. And we have hard times, and things are hard at school, or maybe there's homework to do that we didn't get done, or maybe we get in trouble for something or something. But we all have storms. But if we were just like Jesus, just like those disciples, we would go to him and say, Jesus, can you calm the storm in my life? And you know what? He calmed it back then, and he can again today. Could we have a little prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son to love us, to teach us, and to always be there for us, and to calm the storms in our life. Amen.
Thank you, Phil. Of course, most people know that nap time is during the sermon, right? I mean... thank you, Phil. A number of people to lift up. Certainly, we do want to remember Kathy Connell in our prayers. And Linda, we are grateful that your daughter is doing so much better after surgery this past week. And also, we are so delighted that Nita Marsh and her daughter, Judy, is here. Judy's from Fort Worth. And Nita, we are so delighted that you're here. God bless you. We're so glad to see you this morning. Praise God. We want to lift up Gene Kimmerling. He is now at North Kansas City Hospital while his wife Grace continues to be at the McCrite Plaza Rehabilitation Center. Grace is hoping to go home this week, as she's been over at McCrite now for about 3 weeks. But again, we got to get Gene home first so that the two of them can try to help take care of one another. So let's hope all that works out well for them. We continue to congratulate Michael and Christina and Marielle, and look forward to them coming back and being in worship with them as they had their son born last Sunday. Are the girls are here?
Yeah, Michael.
Oh, where's Michael? Oh, he must be in the nursery right now. Oh, no, I don't see him. Well, so Michael's here. Wonderful. Well, we look forward to meeting their new son in the near future. I think everything's going well for them. Praise God. Nathan, we continue to remember you in prayer, and your father, Joe Carrington, in prayer. And Pat, we certainly lift all of you up every day. As we know, your father is dealing with stage 4 lung cancer. We want to continue to remember Betty Barnes as she is continuing her treatments for cancer. Helena Edwards is over at Pleasant Valley at the present time. We remember Sheila Killian in our prayers with the respiratory concerns she deals with daily. LaVon Weaver continues to be at Benton House. Marge Turner was actually able to be here at the 8th 8:30 service. That's the first time I think Margie had been with us since Thanksgiving. So we just praise God that she was able to be back with us. Louise Mendrup still staying pretty close to home and dealing with that bone cancer that's been an ongoing problem for her. And, of course, John and Dorinda Hoke, they are out and about with their business, but we continue to remember them in prayer with the treatments that John has been undergoing. So I think these are all the people we need to lift up, and so may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence in prayer this morning. Merciful and loving God, it is with genuine gratitude that we assemble in your house of worship to offer praise and adoration to your holy name and to be showered in the grace of your unconditional compassion, while we are also blessed by the genuine presence of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. As family members, may be bolstered by joyous conversations and by the enjoyment of comforting food and laughter at a family reunion. We recognize, O God, that every Sunday morning is indeed a spiritual family reunion that refreshes our souls, inspires our determination, and empowers us to step out into a new week in faithful witness to your causes. And as we begin this new week, O God, we realize that if not for us, certainly for others, there will be trials and challenges for some and concerns that may seem unimaginable for others. But for ourselves and for others, dear God, we seek the power of your abiding strength and presence. For as Lamentations chapter 3 reminds us, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, your mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. We express our never-ending gratitude to you, our merciful and loving God, as we also recite the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And Phil has our scripture reading this morning, but it's going to be different, because last night I decided to change the sermon. Our scripture reading comes this morning from Acts, the 16th chapter, verses 20 through 30, and you may find that on page 1011 in your pew Bible. They brought them before the magistrate and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept and practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet with stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." The jailer called for lights and rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" This is part of the story of God as told by the people of God. Praise be the Lord.
truth, my life, such a way as gives us breath, such a truth as ends all strife, such a life as killeth death. Come, my light, my feast, my strength, such a light assures a feast, such a feast as mends in length, such a strength as makes his guest. Come, my joy, my love, my heart, such a joy as none can move, such a love as none can part, such a heart as joys in love.
You know, last week I was telling you about my son driving off in that bitter cold weather last Sunday morning, wearing flip-flops without socks or anything. And I said, Jonathan, what on earth are you doing? At the same time, I must admit that as he's on that months-long assignment a couple thousand miles away from his home, it warmed my heart to hear that he had already been looking for a church to attend, even though his normal sleeping hours will be most everyone else's waking hours 6 days of every week. Really warmed my heart to think he was looking for a place to worship God, and that he would take the time and trouble to do that at a time he'd normally be sleeping on the one day of the week that he'll be off. Doesn't that warm your heart to think that our next generation could have that level of devotion? You know, the endeavor reminds us that no matter where we may be or what we may be doing, there is always a community of believers somewhere to be found. East or west, north or south, from the Arctic to the Antarctic, there are people who this very day are celebrating Christ as Lord and Savior in a multitude of ways. As you and I celebrate at the Lord's table this Lord's Day, we remember that the text of 1 John chapter 1 states, if we live in the light, just as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. We celebrate the fellowship of fellow believers as we prepare our hearts to receive the bread and the cup of the Lord's table. As we turn to our communion hymn this morning, it's number 386, we sing stanzas 1 and 3 of We Come as Guest Invited.
We come as guests invited when Jesus bids us dine. His friends on earth united to share the bread and wine. The bread of life is broken, the wine is freely poured for us in solemn token of Christ our dying Lord. One bread is us for sharing, one single fruitful vine, our fellowship divine.
seal of heaven, the love of Christ our Lord.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Gail leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this day and this opportunity to come around your table. We thank you that we will accept this invitation and come and have fellowship with you. As we drink this cup and eat this bread, may we be filled with your peace and strength to take us through this next week. In your name we pray. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning.
Thank you.
First Peter, the fifth chapter, says, I appeal to you to be shepherds of the flock that God gave you, to take care of it willingly and not unwillingly, as God wants you to. Do your work not for mere pay, but from a real desire to serve. Do not try to rule over those who have been put in your care, but be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the glorious crown, which will never lose its brightness. Exceptional stewardship comes not only from the use of our resources for God's purposes, but from the way we conduct ourselves in daily living with others, offering compassion and servanthood that honors God. As Doug offers a word of prayer, we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for all that we have, because without you, we would have nothing. As we gather our tithes and offerings, may the people who give them be blessed, may this church be blessed, and may these funds be blessed so that we may continue to spread the word of Jesus here in our community and the world. In this we pray, amen.
Amen. Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. In light of the way the weather's been over the last few weeks, I decided last night I was just going to change my message. We can talk about Timothy next week. In fact, I think I'm going to spin off on a number of different biblical characters starting next week, and Timothy's a good start for that. But what's been kind of on my mind all through this past week has just been how we've had this stretch of cold that's kind of just borne with us here the last few weeks. Of course, you know, in the early service, we have some folks from the Dakotas, and some of us have lived in Nebraska. So for you Missouri folks, this is kind of normal up there. January, February, March, this is the way it is up there all the time, you know, where you have these stretches where the snow just comes on the ground and just sits there. Everything's kind of bright white for a while, you know, and it's really bitter cold outside. Of course, it's a good thing we're not going up to Chicago this week. What are they talking about? Wind chill minus 60. Was just talking with Paul a little bit ago. He was talking about having family members up in the Chicago area. I said, yeah, you know it's really cold when you're wearing a leather jacket and you move and it crinkles like cellophane. Leather is not that warm of a clothing.
I learned that from Nebraska. I'd be out there going from hospital to hospital in my leather jacket, just moving like this, and go crinkle, 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 crinkle. And I was cold. Let's talk about cold today. Let us pray. Merciful God, we are grateful for the privilege to be in your house, to be renewed and deeply warmed in the Spirit by the guidance of your direction with us day by day. It's in Christ's name that we give thanks. Amen. Well, it does look like this month of January is going to result in a rather long cold spell. In fact, if you've heard about the weather for this week, yeah, we're not going to get anything like sleet and snow or that sort of thing, but the cold is going to just keep barreling down from Canada and kind of stick with us a few more days. I think we're all just kind of hoping we just get a bit of a break, right? Warm up a little bit, melt everything off. We think, whew, yeah, that's better. But you know that it's really been cold when freezing temperature feels like a warm spell. And again, that's the way it is. When if you've been in like minus 30, minus 20 degrees for about 2 or 3 weeks, when finally gets up to freezing, boy, that's when you think, whew, a heat wave. That's right. But you know, considering this wintry spell, we wonder, well, when are we going to really feel warm? Maybe not till spring. For let's face it, forest air heat, which is what most of us endure in our homes and our businesses, it may be convenient, it's automatic, it takes less work, and it may be cheaper, but it's not warmer by any means, is it? It pales in comparison to the sense of warmth one gets from radiant heat. Carrie and I have lived in a lot of places. Even before Carrie, I obviously had a number of other places I've lived in over the years, but we've only lived in one place that was, when you walked in the door, it just felt warm. And it was just warm the whole time you were in there. It was an old rundown rental house in Salina, Kansas. We called it the Roach House because it was actually on Roach Street. You know, you just can't imagine. It's a terrible feeling to be writing an address. Roach. I forget the numbers of it. Such and such Roach Street. I used to have to explain to people, that's somebody's name. Some family name in Salina. But anyway, one thing about that house. We moved from that house in the midst of winter. And we moved into our home of our own. And I thought, oh, wonderful, we got a house of our own. But then the bedrooms were over an area that had no basement. Just a crawl space. Those bedrooms were always stone cold. Just something about radiant heat. And of all the offices I've ever had through all the years, only one office have I ever had that really felt warm, and that was the office on the second floor of a three-story church and on the corner there, northeast from the Capitol building in Lincoln, Nebraska, at First Christian Church in Lincoln. That whole building felt warm. Why? Steam, radiant heat. Now, the problem, however, is back at the time I was there, it cost about $5,000 a month to heat that building. And we didn't heat all of it. We just heated parts of it. That's why you have forced air units in your house that are run by gas. Not because it's warm, but just because it's the way we do things now. But you know, as I have often still felt chilled, even while being bundled up as our forced air furnace keeps churning away, my mind's eye wanders back to the very few times I've been privileged to warm up to a great fire in one of the grand log lodges in the upper Northwest. Maybe some of you have been there in Oregon or Washington State. So I see a hand raise. And there's different national parks that have these incredible log lodges, big lodges. The ceilings tower up higher than the ceiling of this sanctuary. And you see these river rock river rock hearths standing up about a story high. and then the chimney just towering up all the way up to the and out the ceiling, you know. But as yours, there, you see this raging wood fire, because wood is what? Relatively cheap and easily accessible up in the great Northwest. And while the snow covers the ground and the wind howls outside, there are those grand leather chairs that you can sit in while cozying up to the welcoming radiant waves of heat that just kind of waft your way. Some of you are smiling because you know what I'm talking about. While you're nestled there in that wonderful leather chair with your comforter blanketed over the top of you, quietly reading your favorite book. The fireplaces in these Northwestern lodges are nothing like the puny gas-fired fireplace in our homes here in Kansas City. I've got two of them, I know. They just kind of have this wonderful flame that just kind of dances along there. Yes, it's really easy to go over there and turn the knob and fire it up and then close up the glass and watch it flame away. But I'm still cold to the bone. Those old fireplaces, they just look like something, and all I do is feel guilty about burning up gas. You know? Instead, these log-burning lodge fires snap, crackle, and pop with a ferocity and an intensity that warms the massive room for several yards and even emits enough light to illuminate that book you're trying to read. On these bitterly cold and gloomy days, I realize why my mind's eye often wanders back to these places of which I've only had the privilege to visit in winter on very few occasions. The number of times I've been in any of those lodges during the winter I could put on one hand. But yet, every time I feel cold to the bone, I just think back what it might be like to be nestled by one of those grand fires. And I guess it's because that's where you can really feel at peace. Despite the harsh conditions, one is viewing outside the grand picture window, and as you hear even the wind howling outside, even despite the massive thickness of those log walls, one is warmed through and through. You know, there's only one place in Kansas City that Carrie and I have found that begins to emulate the fiery hearts of those log lodges. And after the early service, some folks said, "You know, Dennis, I was thinking about that just before you mentioned it." The place I'm talking about is the Cracker Barrel Restaurant. Right? Big hearth. They chunk in the big logs, and they'll fire it up. But you better arrive early on a cold, blustery morning if you want to enjoy a hearty breakfast near the fireplace and enjoy the waves of heat that waft by while you watch the flames dance before you with each subsequent sip of your coffee. You'll be really warmed up with great food and a grand, radiant heat. Make sure when you go get that one of those few tables that's up that close, you know, have your spouse sit on the backside, you know, and you get to sit on the side where you get to face the fire so you can really watch it. Right. See, Carrie's never going to let me sit there anymore from now on. But then, the truth of the matter is, however, you have to leave. You have to make room for other patrons, and your forced air furnace awaits you in your home or at your office. Oh, but what does it really take to be warm through and through? All of this leads me to realize that feeling physically chilled, however, pales when compared to the wintry feeling many may feel deep within their souls, as real concerns and worries trouble the depths of people's souls. Challenging financial concerns, troubling prevailing long-term illness, fractured relationships, the preponderance of one's shortened lifespan, overall questions about the destiny of one's future. Troubling circumstances can chill one's soul to the bone. Coldness of spirit can seem just as isolating to the soul as one being cooped up and all alone in one's home, and your spirit begins to feel disheartened. What is there to warm the soul with the coldness of life's troubles blanketing one's hopes and aspirations? The question got me to thinking about Paul and Silas. Acts chapter 16 tells us that Paul and Silas were beaten and then imprisoned deep within the inner cell at Philippi. The city officials were upset because Paul and Silas had healed a slave girl who made the officials great profits, as she was purported to be a fortune teller. There was Paul and Silas in pain from the beatings and incredibly uncomfortable. There is no cushy bed. There is no warm fire. There's nothing but a stone-cold floor, likely riddled with all kinds of stuff and stench and rats. And on top of that, their ankles were shackled in big, heavy wooden blocks. Boy, didn't they have reason to complain. And yet, amazingly, they weren't discouraged by the pain or by the cold or the damp, dark, miserable conditions that surrounded them. Verse 25 of Acts 16 tells us that about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Paul and Silas had a way of going to their spiritual mind's eye, and by reaching for the resources of their faith, prayer, and praise, they found great joy. And of course, as you may know the rest of the story, their chains are loosed, they're freed, even all the other prisoners, many of whom quite likely were also unjustly imprisoned, were freed. The jailer is terrified because he knows that the cost of their escape is his death. And yet Paul and Silas say, no, don't kill yourself. We're here, we haven't left. And he asks, what must I do to be saved? The jailer asks. Of course, the jailer and all his family are brought into the fold of the kingdom of Christ in a wonderful way. And Paul and Silas, through their praise and worship to God, warmed up the spirits of many souls. Yes, our bodies may still feel chilled for many days to come, but during the ongoing cold spell, the biggest question is, how will we reach into the depths of our spiritual resources and really be warmed spiritually? Jeremiah was promised spiritual restoration even as he lay in prison. In Jeremiah chapter 33, the text says, while Jeremiah was still confined in the courtyard of the guard, the word of the Lord came to him a second time. This is what the Lord says, he who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not yet know. In other words, even in the midst of your despair, Jeremiah, call upon the Lord. That's what Paul and Silas did. And like Paul and Silas, where will we find great warmth of spiritual comfort? What disciplines will we call upon to give us guidance? Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and continuing says, come to me, all you who are tired from carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and put it upon you and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest. And Psalm 46 reminds us, God is our shelter and our strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. I still keep thinking back about one of those Christmas carol things that were on the radio while I was working on the Chrismons. Oh, it's cold outside. Remember that song? Yeah, it's cold. Yeah, it's still going to be cold. But you know what? Our prayer and praise, searching of Scripture, can warm our souls despite whatever wintry issues you may be dealing with. Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is the day for you to come forward and become a part of the fellowship of the Church of Jesus Christ through your confession. Or maybe today is your day to become a part of our membership here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation to you as we turn to hymn number 343. We're going to sing stanzas 1 and 4 of Jesus is Tenderly Calling Thee Home. 343, please. May we stand.
Jesus is tenderly calling me home, calling today, why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam, farther and farther away, calling today, arise and obey.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. May we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, as we depart, your Holy Spirit guides us, and for this we do give thanks as we journey forward with the new week. It's in Christ's name that we seek your guidance as we offer praise and thanksgiving to you. Amen.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.